Hello, welcome to a very special edition of Shoot the Fence. I'm your host, as ever, Stel. And my guest is Lubomir Asinov. Now, Lubomir, who you guys will probably not know, he is the official photographer for Kubrat Pulev, who, as you know, lost to AJ at the weekend. A very tense fight, very heated fight. The build-up was very, very dramatical. We saw that there was no love lost in the ring. But after the bout, obviously, they shook and became friends again. But unfortunately, Lubomir had a very, very bad experience with Matchroom Sports. And that's something that we're just going to go into in this actual podcast. But before that, Lubomir, thank you for joining me. Really appreciate you taking the time and the effort to talk to me about this. Before we talk about your experience with Matchroom, my friend, tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of your experiences. I know that you're a photographer, but you used to do football, you do tennis.
Yeah, so maybe I should start with this, that I'm a professional photographer more than 15 years. I've been in thousands of events in all over the world. I have a few full seasons for Formula One. I was a photographer for BMW Formula One team. I am a photographer of Kubrat Pulev. I helped to team of Grigor Dimitrov. I'm an official photographer of Bulgarian Football Union. So that experience with Matchroom was real weird for me, because 1 week the guys from Matchroom doesn't give us any kind of accreditations for this game. That was a COVID-19 issue. They told us because of they should be very careful with COVID-19 and everything else. So I do my PCR test 1 day before I leave to England. But 1 week before, we start talking with our team of Kubrat Pulev, with Matchroom, what we'll do with Bulgarian journalists there. 5 days, these guys from Matchroom doesn't response the emails. Can you imagine that? Bulgarians to make a match for world champions here in Bulgaria, and if a British journalist doesn't have any information, how they can come and cover the game? Can you imagine what will be in United Kingdom? So in Saturday evening, 1 week before the game, they told us, sorry guys, you should come 1 week before, so you cannot cover the game. You will not go inside in the hall or match day, so you will stay at home. You can download our app for watching online, and you can watch the game online.
So, Lubomir, when the agreement was made between Pulev's promoter and Matchroom, did they say or stipulate how many members of the journalists or how many photographers could actually appear at the fight? No?
No. They don't have any kind of point about the journalist. They because it's absolutely normal to have a Bulgarian journalist. We are part of the game. So they don't have any kind of point. Should told the Bulgarian journalist, you have to came 10 days, 5 days, 25 days, 35 days, or 2 months before.
So which television company was broadcasting the fight in Bulgaria?
No one. They didn't sell. They didn't sell the rights to no one.
Well, that's a Bulgaria. Bit strange, isn't it? Because he's Bulgarian. He's the best Bulgarian heavyweight. So why would it doesn't make sense to me.
He's a history in Bulgaria. He's he lost from AJ because AJ was a brilliant boxer. He's a brilliant boxer, but one is AJ. Another thing is Matchroom. AJ is a great boxer, and he's absolutely. We know about that. Kubrat will have a very, very difficult game. Everybody knows about that. But why these guys don't leave us to finish our job? Why? Why? I don't expect that. Nobody expect that. We go to Bulgarian Ministry of Sports. The Bulgarian Minister of Sports goes to British Minister of Sports. So Bulgarian External Affairs Ministry works with your ministry, and 5 days, some guys who doesn't care about some boxing games have to fix some things that Matchroom made.
So who from Matchroom did you guys have any kind of communication with? Because I know you said earlier that they didn't respond to your emails in 5 days. Who got back to you eventually? Do you know?
I don't know a real name. There was some kind of, I think the PR. The PR, okay. Yeah, the PR of Matchroom. I don't remember the name. Mm-hmm. I have it somewhere in emails. But this is the guy. This is the guy who have to give us rights to
the rights, yeah, the accreditation as we call it. Now,
the another thing. At last, we have ability to go. So I take the plane in Wednesday. I came to England, and this guy told me, no. No media day, no press conference, no Friday.
The weigh-in?
Yeah.
The weigh-in, yeah.
So maybe I don't promise you, but maybe in Saturday you'll be able to go in the hall and watch the game.
Right. Now, did they give you any reason? Because the only thing I can assume is because of the COVID restrictions. But at the same time, you being a representative of the other fighter, the other boxer, you should have had a certain amount of people allowed in these areas, in the media section, at the weigh-in. You should have been allowed. No, that's normal procedure.
Nobody cares about my PCR test. If they want these guys, they have a PCR, they have a doctor's crew in the enter of their balloon. They told us that all boxers and all guys for these games are getting the hotel because we stay in a Hilton. All guys goes in the hotel 1 week before the game. So this balloon is closed and nobody can get in. So that's the reason that I can't cover the thing. Yeah, okay. I remember that. But in Tuesday, Anthony Joshua goes in that hotel, not in Saturday, just 5 days before the game. Every who wants to go inside in that bubble goes through the doctor's crew, makes a PCR test, and if this test is negative, they can go inside. But we, no.
So they didn't even give you the opportunity to do that?
No. No. They don't care about my PCR test from the last day.
Right.
Sorry, mate. Go away.
But it's a bit of a strange one there, Lubomir, because I'm interested to know if there were any issues with the Bulgarians in terms of negotiations, or if there was any issues between both parties in the negotiation, because I know the fight should have taken place a couple of years ago, shouldn't it?
Don't you so?
No.
No.
So it's not as if that there was a grudge that was carried over from one of the parties, and they believe that.
I don't know, really. I don't think so about that. I don't nothing about that.
Okay, so in terms of the preparation for the fight, you were ready to get on the plane. You took your COVID test. You were negative. You're ready to get on the plane. You come to the UK. I presume you've been to the UK before, so you know what the British people are like, what the British media are like. But in terms of the promoter itself, when you went to the arena on the night of the fight, I understand that there was a little bit of an altercation. Is that correct? Between yourself, the Matchroom staff, even your peers, your colleagues, the journalists. It was a bit messy, wasn't it?
They let me in through the first gate. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that they have to expect Bulgarian journalists, but some guy came from somewhere and said, yeah, they will come, give him a backstage pass.
So who do you think sorted that one out? Because I remember earlier you were saying that there was an issue, and then the Ministry of Sport in Bulgaria got in touch with the UK. Do you think they stepped in to make sure that you guys got your passes?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
So I get the backstage pass, and the security takes me to the backstage. But what do you expect when they told you you have a backstage pass for journalists? What do you expect? What do you expect?
Well, if a journalist goes backstage.
Yeah.
Well, if a journalist goes backstage, they're only allowed to speak to the boxer at a certain point, are they not? Before the fight, they obviously can't do anything during the fight because they're covering the game. And after the fight, when the match is over and they can go into the press conference. Now, if a journalist is on good terms with the boxer or the athlete, whoever's participating, then there's a chance they'll be ushered into the locker room, and then they'll be able to talk to them there and then. But
all right,
it wouldn't surprise me if there were heavy-handed tactics or heavy-handed people preventing these people from getting in to talk to the athletes.
I expect the same, but I go just behind the temporary studios of Sky Sports behind the. A black, what the is curtains? The name of this? Yeah. And I was exactly at the backstage with cables, with workers, with everybody, but in another side of the boxing room. And they told me that I have no rights to take photos, so I have to stay there. And yeah, I have to be happy to stay in the hall because there is not a chair with my name. So I have to stay in the backstage with the workers and I have to hear what happened on the ring. Right. That's all.
So you found out on the actual day, in fact, when you were at the fight, that you weren't allowed to take photographs. Now, for me, that's not normal, but at the same time, the only assumption I can make is that Matchroom had their own photographers who were licensed to do it. Now, do you normally have to have a license to take photographs? And in addition to that question, why were you not informed that you couldn't take photographs in the first place? It seemed very strange to me.
Look, at the last, I make a huge, I don't know the word. I talk with high tone of me. Right. So they came a few another guys, a few girls. They couldn't find my name in their lists, and they doesn't understand how exactly I get inside in the hall. They was very surprised. So after 25-30 minutes, one lady came to me and said, "You are the Bulgarian photographer, right?" "Yes, I am." "We find a place for you, and the promoter said that you can make photos from that place. Come with me." I was very happy. In the corridor, I saw a friend of mine, not friend of mine, a person who I know from Formula One,
right?
The another photographer, which is British, and I say him, "Hey, hello, how are you?" And he said, "Hey, nice to meet you. Where are you going?" And I said, "At my place." And he told me, "Yeah, but photographer's place is down there. I'm going down there." And the security lady said, no, he came with us." And they put me in the hall, at the corner of the hall, at some kind of chair, I don't know.
Right. How far from the ring were you?
About 30 meters, 35. About
30 meters. So, you know, obviously, cameras these days can zoom in, but that's not what you want. That's not what you're used to.
I had exactly lens for that, but that is not the point.
Yeah,
the point is that I'm in the corner of the room, the farthest place in the room, the farthest chair in the room, and they said, "From here you can make photos, and from here you're able to do whatever you want."
How many other photographers did you see there? I know you mentioned the guy that you worked with or you saw.
About six or seven. I saw after that pictures in Getty Images, in Reuters, in Associated Press, Matchroom, France Press maybe, and I.
Right.
Six or seven photographers.
And the guy that you saw, do you remember which company he represented or where he was working for? Or who was working for?
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
No. Okay, that's not a problem. So in terms of your personal experience, you've obviously never experienced anything like this before.
No, but never. Even in Bulgaria. Here everything is possible. So I didn't see something like that even here.
Mm. So why do you think? Do you think there's a reason behind this in terms of, like I said before, were there any issues in the past with Pulev's camp and Matchroom that maybe led to Matchroom saying, right, we're only going to give them a certain amount of people allowance in terms of being into the arena at the time?
I understand your question. I will start with that they give to Bulgarian fans a link who doesn't work in 1 week before when they let the tickets to sell. And they say that in that hall, because of COVID-19, there will be only 1,000 persons. One minute, they told that link will be active in 12 o'clock. In 12 and 5 minutes, that link wasn't inactive and there was a sentence that all tickets are finished. Sorry, guys, we'll see you. But they promised that there will be 1,000 people. In the hall was about 5,000 people.
Wow.
These 5,000 people, 80% of these guys was off masks. I have pictures I can send you. You can do with them whatever you want because I can... This is my job, so they give me a possibility to make photos from there.
Yep.
So these guys are lying for the spectators. These guys are lying for COVID-19 defense.
So in terms of your colleagues and other people that you work with, the other journalists, did they... have the same sort of problems as you, or was it worse?
Absolutely. Even more worse was that they are TV crews. So this TV crew, the security of the hotel and the security for event around the Wembley Arena doesn't give them a chance to make stand-ups and live for the news, around the hall. They said it's forbidden. You cannot do that here. You can go in the park or on the streets with the bus. So you cannot be here. You cannot show the hall. You cannot show the road. You cannot show nothing.
Okay, and I take it they didn't give a reason as to why, because I presume that prior to attending the events, they would have been given a list of things that they can and cannot do. I mean, I've got my UEFA accreditation, and when I go to certain matches, they send you an email to say you can't take pictures, you can't do this because obviously you've got certain rights.
Yeah, absolutely, which
is understandable.
In a Formula One, we have a photographer's bulletin, which photographer's bulletin gives you everything that you can do or you cannot do. So you read that, you make your sign that, and you know your rights.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the security that were at the fight, now I've been to numerous boxing matches and security can be very tight, but then in the certain arenas that I've been to where security is very heavy-handed, shall we say?
They're doing their job. I'm not sure that the security is a problem.
No,
it's not security problem. Yeah,
that's all right then. That's fair. It's fair enough because the most important thing is that you guys, okay, fair enough. You guys covered the fight. You hopefully enjoyed the match experience. I wouldn't say the actual experience as a whole.
Yeah,
but you guys didn't receive any aggressive treatments.
Yeah, but again, these guys from the security, they're doing their job. Mm-hmm. Somebody tells them to do that. I don't think that Matchroom was scared from Kubrat Pulev. I really hope to not be there. To not be, this is not a reason. I hope so. But you want Bulgarian fans, you want Bulgarian journalists, you want nothing from Bulgaria. you want Bulgarian spectators on the TV. You don't want TV watchers. So you don't care about us. I know that nobody cares about Bulgarians, but
no, it's,
yeah, we are part of the game.
But this is it. This is your boxer. Now, if, say, for example, it was an American boxer, they've got a bigger audience, obviously, so there's going to be more interest. But at the same time, this is your guy. This is a legend. His dad was a boxer, was he not? So this is something like, exactly. And on top of that, surely they should be thinking, well, it's another market. It's another area that we can possibly make money from. It would make sense. But for me, and I was talking to, you know, Ivan, a mutual friend of ours, and I was saying to him, you know, because of what happened in Bulgaria, between England and Bulgaria, the racism, it's almost as if every Bulgarian has been stereotyped. That's what every Bulgarian is like. They're all racist. They're all this, they're all that. That's the perception that we've been led to believe. Look, my family come from Cyprus, okay? And no one cares about Cyprus. It's a tiny little island with maybe a million people. But because...
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So because many Cypriots have, you know, we do souvlaki, we have our kebab shops. Every Cypriot person owns a kebab shop. That's the xenophobia. That's the stereotype that's been launched at us. So when you
and
guys...
The other thing is that the British media and the British persons, they have their own problem with the racism. They are not racism guys.
Exactly. We've seen it in football.
The problem with racism starts from that country, not from where.
Well, there you go. So, listen, in terms of the way that you guys were treated, did they see you as like down here and they were up there?
Yeah.
And is that the first time you guys have ever experienced that kind of behavior? The mistreatment?
Yeah. First event.
Right. So let's rewind to the weigh-in. Were you actually in the weigh-in then? Were you at the weigh-in the night before, the day before the fight?
The weigh-in was, they sent us, picture of Google Maps, and they saw that there is a entrance in the backside of the hall. So we should go through the parking, and we go to every check, and then go inside.
So you went inside. You saw the weigh-in. You saw. I know it was a little bit fractious between the two fighters, which is what you'd expect. It happens. And I think a lot of it is a bit of a pantomime so you can get more people interested in the fight, because obviously you don't want two boxers shaking hands before the fight. You want them ready to fight. But you guys were in attendance. What about the British media? How were the British media towards you guys? Were they friendly? Were they welcoming? Were they asking questions
about Kulev? Yes, of course. Look, the British media are not idiots. They are not. They know that they will expect now same conditions in Bulgaria when they come, especially these guys. And I'm sure about that. This is a problem for them. We are not idiots too, and we are not. We will not make the things like you, not you. The matchroom. But it's not fair. There is nothing gentleman.
In terms of Eddie Hearn, did you guys get a chance to talk to him?
No.
No? And what about Pulev's promoter? Who is his promoter anyway?
Pulev's promoter is... I have to check the names.
Right, so did he come into contact with you guys? Did you guys have...
I can check just for a second. I can tell you the name because I spoke with him a lot of times. John Wirt.
Okay, right. So I take it you guys or whoever was in charge of the media side for Pulev's team, you guys would have direct communication with Pulev's promoter, no?
Yeah.
So what did he have to
say? He fixed the thing. He fixed the thing that I not stay in the backstage and I go in the chair. He fixed it.
So
he told me this is all I can do. Sorry, mate.
Right. So effectively he was restricted as to how much access he could give you guys, right?
Yeah.
And do you know why that is?
Nobody knows.
No?
Maybe you have to ask Eddie Hearn.
Right. So I presume this may have been an agreement between Matchroom and Sky, where Sky would get the majority of the rights to everything.
Because yeah, they don't have a photographer rights. They have a rights for TV direct show, but right. No, for about the photographers. For photography, you know very well. I don't know that you know or no, but or don't know. But photography is still images, so we cannot. We cannot be alive. We are doing photos, so we need a time to choose which photo to send, then an editor to fix it and put in the web. So we are nothing. We are nobody. We are just photographers to stick the moment for the history.
Right. So in terms of other people who you've spoken to about their experiences, What can you tell me about that? Have you heard from other people that have had worst experiences on the night or in the build up?
No, nobody.
Right. No. Okay. Because it was interesting to read what Ivan puts on his LinkedIn, because when I read it, I was like, you know what? I'm surprised, but at the same time, I'm not surprised, if that makes sense. I'm surprised how a massive company like Matchroom, who are world renowned, who are known for being so professional, can treat you guys in such an unprofessional manner. But again, it didn't surprise me because it's boxing. And with boxing, it's a completely different animal to F1, to tennis, to football.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The games in a box are thousands. I think everything what to do, Matchroom, with Bulgarian journalists, with Bulgarian fans, with the Kubrat Pulev condition and everything else is to smash him psychologically. That's everything. I'm sure about that. This is a small games with the big for the big final.
Right. Okay. Understood.
This is a box. You know, everything there is in another side. if you hit somebody on the football pitch, you will go out. But in the boxing, you have to hit.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, before I let you go, my friend, you've covered lots of football matches. You've covered lots of F1. You've covered tennis. What's your most favorite memory, and what's your best photograph, do you think?
Oh,
too many, eh? Too many.
Yeah, look. It's a London. Again, it's London.
Yeah.
2017, Grigor Dimitrov wins the ATP NITO Finals. And I was only Bulgarian photographers there.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Yeah. And what's your favorite place to go? You don't have to say London because I'm in London, but in terms of the experience.
I love London. No. London is my favorite city in the world. Yeah, I love it.
But you've been everywhere. Why London?
I don't know. I feel London. I feel that I feel London my home city. I feel there like I feel now in Sofia. Look, I'm born here in Sofia, and I'm really happy about that. I'm Bulgarian, time to time, of course. But London, it's a different place for me. I love the architecture there. I love the streets. I love the police. I love the St. Paul Cathedral. I love the Thames again. Yeah. I love it, London. This is my place. I love it. I love to go in London. I love to go in part of Asia, Kuala Lumpur, Singapore, Tokyo. I love that part of the world. I'm not a person for a small city, I think so.
Brilliant.
Just today before that bad experience, I was in London in Sudbury Golf Club.
Okay, yeah.
Like Bulgarian, like a person that I'm not member there. I'm nobody there. I just get into the golf club and they talk with me like a real gentleman. Mm. They made everything to feel like guest number one, VIP guest in their club. and I played golf. I doesn't have any kind of tee time or everything else. These guys was brilliant. I wrote about that. And 2 days after that, another way.
Yeah.
This is my first time when I'm going from London with bad feelings. First time.
I'm sorry that you had to experience that, mate. It's not nice. It's not nice at all. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're happy doing your job. Yeah. I mean, look, you're happy doing your job. And I hope that you don't go through anything like this again, to be fair.
I hope so.
Yeah. One more thing. You're from Sofia, right?
Yeah.
Is CSKA your team?
No.
No. Who's your team?
I am Lokomotiv Sofia.
Right, okay.
It's a small team. They go now in the back decisions, but back divisions. But CSKA is doesn't my team, especially this one CSKA, which is they are not the real CSKA. I don't like this game. I'm a part of this game, and I have to take photos and. I'm a person that I respect what they do, but I don't feel that is my team.
Well, why do you think that they're not the same as what they've always? Is it the ownership of the club? Is it the way the direction is?
No, no. They finished with the money before a few years, and they bought it another club from the country, right? And rename it. To CSK.
Ah, similar to MK Dons. Okay, I understand. Because they've got Alan Pardew as a technical director now, haven't they? Alan Pardew, who was the Newcastle manager. Yeah. Alan Pardew, he's the technical director at CSK now, I think. Is he not?
I don't know the guy, no. No? Really.
Yeah, because he used to be Crystal Palace and Newcastle manager, and he's gone to CSK to be a technical director. He's in the background. Because a friend of mine is a goalkeeping coach, and he told me, he's Alan Pardew's there, so... Interesting time, because I wouldn't know why Alan Pardew would go to a club that not many people know about, you know, unless they've got money.
Yeah. There is the two big clubs in Bulgaria, Levski Sofia and CSK. Mm. They're 50-50. CSKs, they have a lot of fans. They're a big club. So they're okay. They'll be okay. They play very well in Europe League.
I remember years ago.
If you need that, there is a point that if you need something, some photos from Bulgarian games, just call me.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Lubomir. Appreciate it. Well, look, before I let you go, my friend, do you have any websites, any social media you want to promote, Instagram, anything like that?
LAP.bg.
Okay, lovely. That easy.
yeah, it is.
Lovely, great stuff. Well, guys, hope you enjoyed this interview. If you've got any questions, fire them over to me and I'll ask Lubomir, and I'm sure he'll be happy to answer anything you have in relation to the boxing, in relation to even photography. I mean, he's highly experienced.
Thanks, mate.
Fantastic.
Next time when I come in London, I would take a call to make a beer together.
100%, 100%. Okay, wonderful. Man. Thank you very much. Cheers. Have a nice day.
Cheers. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.